No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I have a lot of different directions that I could go. I'll try to get just to the meat of the thought tonight. But let me say something to you before I go any further about conviction. May I say, first of all, that conviction is not confusion. Amen. God is not in the business of confusing people. God deals in absolutes. God deals in facts. God deals in statements. God deals in declarations. God does not deal in question marks. God never has, and he never will promote confusion in the life of the saint of God who is trying to serve the Lord, nor in the life of the sinner who is lost and bound by the cords of his sin. Conviction is not confusion tonight. May I say tonight that conviction is not a result of you comparing yourself with others, and you've heard me say this before, but you cannot get saved comparing yourself to the person beside of you, the other individual in your home. That is not the drawing power that is mentioned here by the Son of God. It is not sitting down and examining your experience with some testimony that someone else has given. Someone may have been out in deep sin in drugs. You may have got saved when you was a young child. I don't know the circumstances nor the situations that you were raised in. And so if you begin to compare yourself with the maniac of Kandera, then you're going to get confused. If you begin to compare yourself with the woman with the issue of blood, you're going to get confused. In fact, if the woman at the well compared her situation with the woman with the issue of blood, she would have never left the well with a drink of everlasting water. And so tonight, conviction is not you comparing yourself with those around you. Yet there is some biblical principles that you can look at in the Word of God to determine whether or not God is dealing with your heart. May I say tonight that conviction is not confusion. Conviction is not comparing, but conviction is a compelling force whereby God the Holy Ghost, amen, through the sovereign act of the Father, amen, and the work of redemption that was accomplished through the Son, amen, reaches into the hearts and the lives of individuals and draws them unto himself, as Jeremiah is saying in the congregation, come unto me, come unto me. I'm telling you, conviction is a drawing to the Father. It is a drawing, amen, to God. And I'm asking you tonight, have you ever been drawn to deliverance? Have you ever been drawn to deliverance? I thought about this. Drawn to deliverance means that I'm drawn away from something, amen, or someone. If I am being drawn, for me to be drawn, I've got to go in a direction that takes me away from something tonight. Amen. When I'm drawn to deliverance, I'm drawn away from Satan tonight. Are you listening to me? I realize that as a lost man, that Satan is my father, and he's a liar and was a liar from the beginning, and he has a stronghold in my life. He has a hold of my mind. He has a hold of my soul. He has a hold of my spirit. Amen. He has taken me captive. He has me entangled in his power. He is the prince and the power of this world. And I ask you tonight, have you ever been drawn away from the devil? Have you ever realized that he had a hold of your life, had a hold of your mind, had a hold of your actions, had a hold of your heart? You are of your father the devil, he said, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a liar, a murderer from the beginning. He's never abode in the truth. Have you ever been drawn to deliverance? Have you ever been drawn away from Satan? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Drawn away from Satan, drawn away from sin. Have you ever been drawn away from sin. I'm talking about got sick of sin. I mean got sick of wickedness and ungodliness. Has there ever been a time in your life tonight when you have been drawn away from sin? Now, I could preach from James, and I could preach about temptation and how a man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But I'm asking you tonight, have you ever been drawn away from sin? You see, you're not going to come to the Father in sin. You may come to the Father a sinner. But when you come to the Father, one of the first aspects of the work of repentance in the life of the sinner is he is sick of his sin. He wants to leave it behind. He's tired of all it's done in his life. He's tired of the wreckage that he's seen take place in his family. He's sick of it. I'm telling you, he's fed up with it. Sin has wrecked him. Sin has ruined him. Sin has made him sick of himself and sick of everything and everything. Everybody around him. I remember a man got saved here a number of years ago, and I'm telling you, as an individual, had a wicked, had a perverted mouth, cussed and used vile language. And I'm telling you, before that boy got saved or that young man got saved, I was in the parking lot of a Walmart with him, and somebody walked by and cussed, and he said this. He said, "Did you believe he said that? Can you believe he talks that way?" It had been a few weeks. He wasn't even saved. But I'm telling you, he was sick of it. He was sick of sin. He was sick of all it was doing. Have you ever been drawn to deliverance? Have you ever been drawn away from sin? I'm going to tell you what, the night that I got saved, I got sick of sin. I've got sick, amen, of living a condemned and a guilty life. I got sick of going to bed at night wondering, am I going to face God before morning? Wondering, am I going to stand before God before the sun come up the next day? I was sick of the guilt and the condemnation of sin. I was tired of what it was doing, leaving me empty, leaving me empty in soul and in spirit, leaving me bankrupt, leaving me unfulfilled, leaving me unsatisfied, leaving me. I was sick of sin. And I'm going to tell you what, the night that I got saved by the grace of God, I was drawn away from sin. Drawn to deliverance means you've been drawn away from Satan. Drawn to deliverance means you've been drawn away from sin. Drawn to deliverance means you're drawn away from self. I wasn't only sick of sin, but I was sick of me. Amen. I justified everything I'd ever done. I'd made an excuse for every wrong that I'd ever committed. I'd made an excuse and I justified my heart and its condition, my mind and its corruption. I'm telling you, justified everything that I'd ever done in my life. I could point a finger in every direction and lay blame. Well, so-and-so's not real. So-and-so's a hypocrite. Or that preacher treated that one wrong. Or that preacher said this. Or that deacon acted this way. Or that piano player run off with a Sunday school teacher. And this and that. The sound man's got somebody pregnant in the church. When I was lost, I'd seen every bit of that in an independent Baptist church in the 70s. Not in the 2000s, but in the 70s. Seen the pastor's son see his wife leave him. You listen to me tonight? Seen the pastor's son get another lady in the church pregnant. I seen that as a young boy in a church, an independent premillennial King James Bible preaching church, and never one thing said about it. Never one thing dealt with. Girl walk around with a baby in her arm to try to hide it, but you can't hide something but so long. Now, I'm not being mean tonight. I'm just preaching the truth to you. I can make an excuse for being in sin. I can make an excuse, amen, for all that I was doing. The whole world's a bunch of hypocrites. Nobody's real. Nobody's legitimate. Everybody's fake. Nobody really loves God. The Bible's really not true, or God would have done this, or God would have done that. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit of God drawn me to deliverance, I realized who I was in the sight and in the mind of a holy God. I was impure and unholy and unjust, and He was just and holy and godly and righteous and above all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I was nothing. God dealt with my heart about my soul. I was drawn away from myself. There's never been a time that I've dealt with any situation as a pastor that somebody has not made an excuse for what's happened to them. They've always had somebody to blame. They've always had somebody to point a finger at. Are you listening tonight? Everybody's got an excuse to be cold and indifferent and even lost tonight. Are you listening? You can march every lost man in Breckinridge County down that aisle and ask him, why are you going to go to hell in the state that you're in? And he would give you an excuse that you probably couldn't argue with tonight. My mama's this, my daddy's this, my grandpa was this way, I seen a preacher do this, I seen some. You got every kind of excuse, you got every kind, amen, of excuse to make about the condition that you are in. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost of God deals with your soul about deliverance, He's going to draw you, and He's going to draw you away from yourself. You're going to have to take sides against who you are and what you are and where you are and the way that you are, and you're going to have to side with God and realize simplicity is this: you are lost, you are undone, you are wicked and ungodly and unholy, and God is righteous and God is holy. Draw me away from society. I'm going to tell you what, friend, the night I got saved, the world didn't mean nothing to me. Now, the day before I got saved, I wrapped my world up in the world and the things of the world. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's things I could jerk out of your life right now and you would be a nervous wreck by morning. There's things that are in this world that you are so reliant upon, you are so engulfed with, you are so obsessed with. If I took it out of your life, if I took it out of your life right now and snatched it away, you couldn't deal with life. You couldn't deal with tomorrow. You couldn't deal with the time that would go around the clock as the sun beamed on the morrow. You couldn't make it. But I'm going to tell you what, the night I got saved, praise God, a bowling ball didn't mean nothing to me. Golf clubs didn't mean nothing to me. A tennis racket didn't mean nothing to me. A boat under the awning and a pair of skis didn't mean nothing to me. Are you listening to me? I was wrapped up. I was obsessed. I was overwhelmed with those things, making money, having nice clothes, driving a good car, and living a freelance life. But I'm telling you, the night I got saved, it could have all rotted before I got home and fell off in a hole. I was drawn away from the pleasures and the peace that this world claims to give and the prosperity that goes along with it. Had you ever been drawn to deliverance? I'm talking about, buddy, nothing meant more to me than Jesus and getting right with God that day. I was drawn away from some things. I was drawn away from some things, from conviction. Conviction dealt with me. A compelling, not just a condemnation and guilt about my sin, even though I was condemned and guilty, but I'm telling you, I was drawn away from some things. I'm telling you, when I left that building that night, nothing meant any more to me I'm the things that held me so captive and bound, I did not have to have. Now, I got a lot of things right now. A lot of things that I give up or threw away or quit messing around with that wasn't sin when I got saved because I felt like they were gods to me. I do some of those things now on occasion. But they don't have me like they had me. I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd take my entire check and I'd go to the golf course. I wouldn't have made my house payment. I'd go gamble, play golf, do whatever, play bowl, do what. It didn't make any difference to me. It had a hold on me. Yes, I would neglect my responsibilities, neglect my duties as a husband, neglect my duties as a father. Amen. To go play 18 or 36 holes or do this or go here or do that. And I'm just saying golf was it because that was it for me at that time. And I know there's people playing golf. I played golf with my son and son-in-law this week, and I'm not saying that's not why I'm preaching. I'm just telling you that had a hold of me. I was 5 minutes from the golf course. I had a cart there. I was a member of the club. I was there every afternoon. As soon as church was over with, I'd hit the golf course. I'd go to church on Sunday mornings. I wouldn't go on Wednesday night because I told them I worked, but I lied. I was a song leader in an independent Baptist church. They let me lead singing, and I was a liar. Wouldn't even go to church on Wednesday nights. Tell them I work late. Didn't have time to get ready. The fact of the matter is, I worked on Monday for 2 hours. I played golf all day on Tuesday. On Wednesdays, I worked for 3 hours. I worked about 3 hours on Thursdays, and I was off on Fridays. That was about my schedule. I'm going to tell you what, the night that I got born again, I was drawn away from society and the pleasures and the things of this world. I'm telling you, Miss Wood, they meant nothing to me that night. They could have, everyone fell off into hell and a burnt to a crisp, and it wouldn't have shook me a bit the next day. Have you ever been drawn away? Have you ever been drawn away? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I'm talking about being drawn to deliverance tonight. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be delivered, you're going to have to be drawn away from something. Drawn to something. Drawn away, but then drawn to something. Here's what he says in the verse. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen. Have you ever been drawn to the sovereign? Has there ever been a time in your life when there was a compelling to come to God? Is anybody listening to me tonight? That man that stepped out into eternity to meet God tonight came to Brother Arnold's house on yesterday because he was troubled. And he planned to be here tonight and hear what I'm preaching to you. That's breathing, that's hearing, and that's watching me tonight. And I'm not playing on that. I'm just telling you the truth. That was his plan. Drawn to God. Drawn to the sovereign. I mean, realizing that God is holy. He is the only one that has the keys that can help the turmoil and the trouble and the anguish and the affliction that you face inwardly, the struggle, the confusion, the questions, all that's going on in your mind, all that's going on in your heart that torments you in the night, that torments you all of your days. Have you ever been drawn to God? Not to a religion, not to a set of beliefs, not to a dogma, but have you been drawn to God? Amen. Drawn to the Savior. Have you ever been drawn to Jesus? I'm talking about the Savior of the world. Have you ever been drawn to Him? I'm talking about the one who has his arms, Bradley, outstretched on Calvary, bleeding and dying for the world. Amen. Paying the sin debt that nobody in the world, if you could put every human being together in one body, could never in a million years merit the favor of God in such a way that would pay the sacrifice or the debt that mankind owed because of his sin. But hanging on a tree on Golgotha's hill 2,000 years ago, the Son of God died for the sins of the world. Yes, but for your sin and for my sin tonight, have you ever been drawn to that Savior? I'm going to tell you what, shallow evangelism don't preach this kind of deliverance. Amen. Drawn to the sovereign, drawn to the Savior, drawn to salvation. Have you ever been drawn to salvation? I'm talking about desiring for God to set you free from sin. Drawn to salvation, meaning that in that condemned state that you're in, that you've had enough. I tell you what, I had enough. I said, I've had enough. I've heard preaching all my life. I've seen the smile on the faces of the people of God. I've seen men of God sweat and preach with all their fiber and be in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I'd sit there and I'd marvel at the touch of God and the power of God on the lives of people. And I'm telling you, I'd go home condemned and guilty and empty and worthless inside. But I'm thankful, amen, that I was drawn to salvation, and I said, I want what they have. I desire to be delivered. I desire to have peace. I desire to have the presence of God. Drawn to salvation. Drawn to satisfaction. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. I was tired, friend. You just don't know how tired I was. I was tired. I mean, I was so tired. I mean, I remember as a young teenage boy, I remember going to a store and getting my mom and dad to buy a certain kind of clothes so when I went to school, I could fit in. I remember being ashamed. My dad had a nice house. It was an old house. He bought it when it was burnt. And he remodeled the whole inside, and it was a nice place. But most of y'all saw that house when it was bricked, right? It's been there. I lived in it when it was old white lap siding. The inside was nice. The old outside was still had a black char to it where it would burn. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was ashamed from anybody in my school to come by there and see it. I didn't want them to come by. Daddy bricked the house later on, nice place. But I'm going to tell you what, I was that obsessed with wanting to fit in. Fit in with the crowd on Burgess Hills and down in the subdivisions with the big brick homes. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Huh? That's the way the devil does you. Huh? I mean, I'd go to McCullough Shoe Store there at the little strip mall, and that was back when, what was it, PF Flyers? Is that what the tennis shoe was at the time? And I mean, they'd have a pair of tennis shoes over there back then. You know, $7-$8 was a lot of money for a pair of shoes back in those days. And, you know, I'd talk my daddy into buying me them $15 PF Flyers. I said, Dad, I'll be able to jump higher and run faster if I got them on. You wouldn't even wear them. You wouldn't be caught dead with them on tonight. You'd probably have to be dead to have them on. Is that old? But I was just like you, Bradley. Just like you, Josh Crawford. When I walked out there, I wanted to fit in. Just like everybody else in this building. I wanted to have the right name on the back of the pant. The right kind of bell at the bottom. The right length zipper. Is everybody listening? Bondage to the world. I needed deliverance. You listen to me. My daughter sent give me a card, Miss Rebecca, for Father's Day. I believe it was Jess Jacqueline gave me a card. Cowboy boots and hats on the front of it. And I don't know what it said on the front, but I caught this. Had several old pairs of cowboy boots, an old hat on there, and it said something like this: always in style. Praise the Lord. Amen. You don't have to worry about the fads. It's always in style. Cowboy boots is always in style. Amen. You listening to me? God help us tonight. I was wanting something that would save me from that pressure and that influence that I could never seem to satisfy. Is anybody on the page I'm on tonight? I was being drawn to salvation. It didn't make any difference. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me tonight? It didn't make any difference. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be satisfied. And it didn't make any difference what I wore. It didn't make any difference what color it was. Amen. To some degree. Amen. But I'm just telling you, it was important to me that God would be pleased with my life. I was drawn to satisfaction. I needed some rest. I was tired. I was tired. I mean, his boys come to school, you know. I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to believe. Listen, you need to listen to me tonight. I was raised in a public school. You didn't come to the table my daddy's house when I was in high school if your hair was over your ears. Now, he wasn't no great spiritual giant, but he'd slap you off the table. And I mean, I was going to school in a day, buddy, that you was a nerd and everything else in the book if your hair wasn't over your ears and down your back. And I went to school every day with it over my ears and up the back. I mean, I thought we was going to have war the first time I had my hair blocked across the back instead of tapered. Some of you boys that's got godly Bible-reading daddies couldn't have lived in my home. My daddy had grabbed you by the seat of the pants and throwed you out in the yard. You say he wouldn't do it either. Yeah, he'd throw you out there and your daddy that's sitting here tonight too. And I promise you he would. My mama's sitting here and she's got a fiery temper to be a little woman. But she had a big man. She called the mayor of Greer one time. There was a police officer up there, told him he was going to run my daddy out of business. And she called the mayor in Greer. It's a pretty good sized little town now. She called the mayor in Greer and she said, I want to tell you something, mayor. What was his name? Mr. Worth or something. I can't remember what his name was. She said, you ain't got a man or two men on that whole police force to run my husband out of town. He said, yes, ma'am, Miss Massengill, you're exactly right. I believe it. I wanted to be satisfied. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. I'm telling you, I was living under the pressure of the influence of the world. I was being drawn to satisfaction. Boy, it was a happy day when I got up that next morning. I didn't have to worry about the world accepting me, rejecting me, or caring. Amen. I just wanted to serve God. I was drawn to satisfaction. I was tired. I was wore out. The devil will wear you out. The devil will not give you any satisfaction and peace. I was drawn away. I was drawn to, but then I was drawn by. I was drawn by the Lord. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Have you ever been drawn to Jesus? What's he mean to you tonight? I preached the other night. I didn't preach, but made some comments about the assurance of your salvation. And that assurance is regulated by your relationship. What kind of relationship do you have with the Son of God tonight? I talked to him today. Did you? I talked to him just a little while ago, and I believe he was listening to me. I was drawn to the Lord. Amen. He stood on Calvary's hill and died there for my sins. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. No one ever cared for you like Jesus tonight. Your mom and daddy and all their sacrifices and all their love would never care for you like the Son of God does tonight. Have you ever been drawn to Jesus? You'd be amazed at the people that is drawn to a moral standard of living. Oh, there is a move and a wave of morality. And it doesn't make any difference if it's a Mormon or if it's a Catholic or if it's a Methodist. It makes no difference what that individual may be religiously speaking. If that man is against abortion, if he is against same-sex marriage, if he is against sodomy, if he is against any or all of these things, we will embrace him because of his morality. Men, there is a sect of people still left in this society, whether you believe it or not, and in America, that is drawn to a moral mindset. But that's not the answer. That's not the answer tonight. Have you ever been drawn to the Savior? Have you ever been drawn to the Lord, to Christ? Let me ask you this tonight. Have you ever been drawn by light? I could read verse after verse from John 1 and the epistles. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. John came to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Light. I'll tell you what, darkness is powerful tonight. I thought today I was going to preach out of Proverbs. Now, I don't want to ruin a message. I'll preach it, Lord willing, on Sunday night or sometimes here in the next few weeks if God will give me liberty. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's very, very important that you understand tonight that there's light that'll draw you. Are you drawn to light? Seems as if that folks seem to be compelled by darkness instead of light. But I'm going to tell you what. When I got right with God, the night that I give my life to God, I wanted light to walk in. I hadn't read enough of the Bible to even own a Bible. And I'd been in church all my life. And you've heard me tell this, but my sister's apartment had burnt. And in that fire was an old Thompson Chain Bible, Thompson Chain Reference Bible. When I got right with God, I took that Bible that was in that fire and got it, and I'd lay it out in the sun out behind Mom and Daddy's house, and I'd put cologne in it and spray Lysol in it, just mist it, try to get that old fiery, smoky smell out of that old Bible. I'd put talcum powder in it, set it out there in the sun and flip the pages. Man, I'm telling you what, it's almost like a kid with a new gift, the Word of God. And man, I thought, man, if I'll take that Bible around, man, all them notes in there, people will think I know something about the Lord. You listening to me? I give that to my nephew here some time ago, BJ. His mama, it was his mama's Bible. I was drawn to the light. Have you ever been drawn to it? I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things I could say, a lot of things I could preach tonight, but I was drawn to deliverance. The Word of God became something real to me. I was drawn to life. I was tired of just existing in this world. I'm telling you, and I don't know how you are. Maybe I'm weird. I'm sure I probably am to some of you tonight. But I'm going to tell you what. I was looking for something that would just give me some kind of fulfillment. And you've heard me tell this, but maybe you haven't never really, it hasn't never really registered with you. But, you know, I was in school and I thought, well, man, playing ball and fitting in with the upper crust, maybe that's the answer to this longing that I had in my soul. I'm going to tell you, I was thirsty for something. I was hungry within. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you,
Emily Allison, I was thirsting inside. I'm telling you, like a man in a desert, been there for days. I'm telling you, I would try everything, and it'd make me happy. I'd feel good. I would achieve. I was on the wrestling team and played football, you know, and then did this and did that. And so I thought, well, maybe it's getting a wife. And I fell in love with the girl with the chestnut brown hair, amen, and got married. And still, you know, there was just an emptiness. I mean, there was still a void, a thirst, a hunger that never was quenched, never was satisfied. I thought, well, maybe I need to get out of the vocation I'm in and start a business. Did that and never satisfied, always discontented. And then went into another field of vocation, just struggling within, never satisfied, always missing out. Well, maybe the Lord, or maybe I just need to, you know, play and sing and maybe go down the road of popularity or something along those lines, and just hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty. Nothing. I'm talking about but misery and emptiness. Bounce from pillar to post. From one thing to the next. And never found any contentment. I walked out of that building that night. I walked out of that building that night, Joseph, and I was satisfied. I'd been delivered. That night the Holy Ghost drawed me to deliverance. And he drawed me to life. I'm talking about a life that was not just an existence, but a life that revolved around abundance, revolved around living, revolved around joy, revolved around peace. Have you ever been drawn to that tonight? Drawn to life? Drawn to the Lord? Drawn to the light? Drawn to love? It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance tonight. You can never measure the love of God. But I tell you tonight, Jesus cares for your soul. Jesus cares for your soul more than you can ever imagine. Jesus cares for your soul tonight. Wherever you're at, whatever condition you're in, Jesus loves you beyond your imagination. We went and seen Miss Mildred this afternoon. Was there talking to her. She back in the nursing home, laying there. When I walked in, she looked up at me and never said anything. And then Debbie walked around there and kissed her on the forehead and was talking to her. She just kept saying, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Kept saying, I got to go. And so the nurse finally got the IV taken care of and moved about, and I walked out of there, over there, and I said, Miss Mildred, you know who I am? You're the pastor, she said. I said, we miss you. I said, do you know who she is? Yes, that's Kathy. I said, that's right. One of my wife's many names that Miss Mildred gave her. My wife said, Miss Mildred, you remember going to South Carolina? No, I can't. I got to go. I don't remember. I don't remember. It's been too long ago or something like that. And then my wife said, you remember getting saved? The man, her eyes brightened up and forehead perked up. She said, I got saved. I remember that night that she walked down there weeping, give her heart to Jesus. In her simple way, she is looking for life. Drawn to life. Have you ever been drawn to life? I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at one human being that knows the entire song of living an empty, unfulfilled life in this world. that had anything that I wanted to have. Are you listening? Tonight, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied in the Lord. Are you? What are you reaching for tonight? What are you hungry for? Can I tell you something? Whatever you're thinking or dreaming of in your mind tonight that might bring you contentment and fulfillment only will leave you empty and void. I showed my wife a little clip of a fella picking the guitar. Face, skin all drawn tight around his cheekbones. Neck, skinny. Eyes sunk in the back of his head. Dog, gravelly voice. Trying to show some licks on the guitar. Still an awesome guitarist. And I flipped over to another page and I showed her him singing a song and picking the guitar. You listening? And I said, that's what sin does. That's what that kind of life gives you. In a few short years, eyes sunk in the back of his head. Oh, he'd be considered one of the greatest guitarists of our time. But looks like walking death. Oh, the devil can give you some of that fame. But for God's sake, son, don't ever look in the mirror. Because it's a pretty pathetic thing to behold when the devil's done with you. He'll die before his time. Dr. Harold B. Sotler, I guess, preached up in his 80s, didn't he? Does anybody know? Probably up in his 80s. Thundered the gospel. Brother Raines, probably 70 years old, talked to him on the phone today. Preached with great liberty, great power. Down in Paducah, we got to preach together the other Monday night. You listening? You take a real close look, at the crowd that the devil is giving them everything they want. You better really evaluate whether or not you want that. And I'm going to tell you what, when I got delivered, the night I got delivered, I was drawn to life, living. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, my daddy would send me to the barbershop and I'd be so mad, I'd be so angry, I'd be so bent out of shape, I couldn't see straight. Because I knew when I went to school the next day, I wasn't going to fit in. The night that I got saved, none of that made any difference to me, I didn't care. Didn't make no difference. What about you tonight? Have you ever been drawn? You better listen to me. No man. Conviction is a sovereign thing. It will never violate your will tonight, young lady. And you can ignore it, stare at the lights, look out the window, poke the person beside of you, and try to play games to dismiss it from your mind. If you're without God tonight, it's a serious matter. Because I don't know how close you'll come to kissing the door of heaven. Judas put his lips on the cheeks of the Son of God and stepped right off into hell. And I'm not being mean tonight. My heart is broken, burden. But a man was just a few hours from sitting on this pew tonight and hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus with every intentions of doing so. And the devil snatched his life away before he heard it. And it's a very serious matter. And I'm not playing on that to play around with your mind or emotions. I'm just telling you, it is a serious thing when conviction and the Holy Ghost is dealing with your soul. Or have you ever been drawn? I'm talking about drawn to the Lord, drawn to life, drawn by love, the fact that Christ loved you and died for you and shed his blood for you. That night I needed help, and Jesus is the only one that could help me.